Hashem didn't place the Alaska Steamship Company's officials, why they pushed him in with Stevens, the lawyer. We took him with us to have a majority, 4-3, and he went back on it.
Well, now let's kind of start from the beginning now, Bob. I'll ask some questions, and then you give me the answers. See, now today, just for the tape recorder here, which I have going now, it's the fifth day of August, 1970. And I have with me here in the University Museum, Bob Bloom. And I'm going to ask Bob some questions because he was a member of the first board of trustees at the Alaska College. Well, this is what. Now, let's tell me just a little bit about yourself, Bob. When did you come to Alaska, for example?
I came to Alaska across the Chilkoot Pass to Dawson in 1898. And then I stayed in Dawson until this
gold was discovered over here.
The gold was discovered over here on the Tanana. Yeah. By Barnett was the one that discovered Pedro.
Yeah.
Pedro came over from the Circle Country, you see. Yeah. That's the way they used to come over here to prospect. Yeah. And he came over from the Circle Country and he landed at Gold, Gold...
Well, he was up on Gold Stream there.
Gold Stream, that's what he was. Well, I mean, he landed on Gold Stream. Yeah. And Barnett came up the Tanana until he got to the Catholic Church and he couldn't go any further.
Yeah.
So he built a cabin there that was the corner of the NC Company. And he stayed there the winter. And one morning the Jap that was with him discovered the smoke that Pedro was off on Gold Street. That's how they communicate with each other.
I see.
And that was the first meeting that Pedro and Barnett had, and the Jap. He was, his name was...
Wada, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, that story, I think.
They had a store near Port Yukon.
Yeah. Now, you were over in Dawson. What kind of work did you do? Did you have a store over there, too?
Sure, that's my business.
What kind of store did you have in Dawson there?
Same kind of store. Hardware. Gents furnishing goods.
Yeah.
And a general.
You never carried groceries, did you?
No, I never had any money.
No. It was a clothing store, a department store, is really what it was.
It was the way a minor store, for minor clothing and so forth and so on.
Yeah. So you heard over in Dawson, then the word came about the Fairbanks discovery, huh?
A Jap came over, and I happened to be talking to a friend of mine. And he came in and he said that they discovered gold in the Tanana Valley. Well, that's all there was to it. I hitched up my dog team and I went down.
You recall about how long it took you to get here?
8 days.
What time of year was that?
Spring.
In the spring you were able to ride the river all right with your...
I didn't have to go by the river, you see. We went all by land.
All by trail.
The snow was on the ground.
I see.
So when I arrived where Fairbanks is now...
What year was that now?
That was 1904.
Yeah.
And then I didn't want to go any further because we thought, you see, that Pedro was the discoverer and Barnett and him, they did all the political business. We didn't come out for that. We were looking...
Did you open a store here pretty fast then?
Then I looked around and it had very good potentials, but to open a business here, so I went I fixed up the place there, and I staked the location. And by that time, Wickersham was down here already with a court house and everything. But he didn't please that bunch of Scotsmen that owned the Alaska Steamship Company, and they fought him to fare you well.
Now, Wickersham, of course, established the court about 1904 or 5 here.
Yeah, well, that's when
where was your store located?
The same where it was, but below, down a little bit lower than where the post office is now.
Was it on 2nd Avenue there?
I was on 2nd Avenue all the time. So I stayed in business in Fairbanks, mm-hmm. and we built it up. And then there was a bunch of business people from Dawson came up, like Lavery
Andrew Nurland,
came down. And
Martin Pinsker?
Martin Pinsker and his partner came down. Yeah. And there was a bunch of us, and we established the town of Fairbanks.
Yeah. Well, I knew you were one of the first settlers, and I'm glad to get the story. Now,
I am one of the charter members today that's still alive.
That's right, of the pioneers.
Yeah.
Now, about 1915,
you were always a supporter of Wickersham, were you not?
Always. And that was the fight.
I think that was the first. You first met Wickersham, of course, when he first came to town.
Met Wickersham when he was appointed judge by Theodore Roosevelt.
Uh-huh.
And the first case he held was in Valdez. And at that time, this discovery here was made, and there was two factions organized. This outfit that Bunnell represented, and then there was the real prospectors that went up there to McGrath, you see, and staked that ground. And they were first. But the Bunnell, the bunch that Bunnell represented, they wanted to get a hold of it, and they wanted it before. And Wickersham decided against it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they fight all the way through, by gosh, until they bought over Stevens and got a majority to open up the college so as Bunnell should get it as judge.
Let's go back just a little bit now to make the story right.
Well, you were just
1915 now. Judge Wickersham was back in Washington, and he got the bill passed.
Yeah.
To establish an agricultural college here, and he even said where he wanted it.
Yeah.
He said it was going to be.
He selected the place. Oh, yeah.
He did it because, it was right next to the experiment station.
He didn't for the, because he seen the...
A good view.
He seen the view of Mount McKinley. It was a clear day.
Yeah.
And as soon as he saw that, he said, that is the place we want to establish the college on the highest point.
Yeah.
And right. There was... He was with us too. The man that also... The one that made that big donation, what do you call him, to the college? Oh, he and his wife. His wife.
Oh,
Hess. Hess, yeah.
Yeah, and
Eddie
Luther.
Hess.
Luther
he,
Hess.
He was, or Luther Hess, yeah. Yeah. He was with us at the time, Wickersham.
Were you with that party the day it came out?
Yeah, I was there. Jack Buckley and Jack, there was another boy that had a store here.
Mm-hmm.
He was with us. And Mr. Wickersham, and a couple of fellows that was with him when he went to Mount McKinley.
Oh, I see.
The others, they were against it. They didn't want no college here.
Yeah.
They didn't because nobody would go there. It was too far out of town.
Yeah.
At that time, it was...
There was a group that wanted it built downtown, wasn't it?
That's where the fight come in.
Oh, that was one of the first
Bones of contention, huh?
That was the biggest bone of contention.
Yeah.
And the NC got mixed up in it through the Alaska
Steamship
Alaska Steamship Company.
Yeah.
This lawsuit.
Now, I don't quite get where the steamship company entered into it, except that it represented a faction that was pretty well keeping control of Alaska's trade and commerce. Is that it?
Yeah, well, that's the Alaska commercial. That's what it was.
Yeah. I think that was anything important. All right, now let's bring it up to date now. That one of the first things that that the territory had to do then, now was there a board of trustees appointed? Well, right after 1917, I suppose.
That was a way up already. The first real fight came in when they brought in Shackelford, you see, to challenge Wickersham in a debate. And that was held in where that big building Luther Hess was interested in it too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the debate was held, and of course Wickersham made much out of Shackelford. He never got up and said a word.
Well, of course Wickersham was a wonderful speaker.
Well, naturally, he was a wonderful man.
Well, he was a great.
And he was a great friend of Alaska.
Well, he did an awful lot for it.
Well,
no question.
Well, if he did, he wasn't a friend, he wouldn't do it. But you don't have to.
No. He's a great. He was a great man. He stands out in any group.
And he should stand out.
Yeah. Now.
All right, but you see, they try to hide him. And Foster, that outfit that don't even belong to the country, that never was here. That's the Alaska Steamship Company.
Now,
they robbed the town long enough.
Besides that kind of interest faction, it was pretty along political lines too, wasn't it?
It's all political.
Yeah.
The reason why they wanted to jump that ground, that the Seattle people had a right to it. And when he heard the case, he gave it to the right to the Seattle people, and that started Stephen Birch. He was the main politician that is like our President Nixon is now.
Yeah. What position did Stephen Birch have?
He was the main man of that element that wanted to jump the right, you see, from the Seattle bunch that were here before them. That's the McGrath bunch. Mm-hmm. They were also, you see, there was gold there too, that was earlier found, you see, from the simple days.
Well, this is in McGrath, you say?
Yeah.
I see. Was he a lawyer or was he just the business agent or something like
Who?
That? This Birch.
I don't know what he was, but he was a pain in the neck.
Well, now, when
the reason why we were Wickersham-ite, Theodore Roosevelt appointed him as judge.
Yeah.
He came into the country from Tacoma, established everything legally and conscientiously, and he meant to make himself and the country a province or a state or whatever it was to the United States.
Yeah.
So that was his intention.
Now, he got elected to Congress back about 1908.
Yeah.
And then he served all the way up until 1912.
Yeah. And then he turned it over to Dan Sutherland.
Oh, he served up till about 20, I think.
Who?
Wickersham.
Wickersham?
Yeah, he served up till about 1920 or 21.
Well, I think he did. That's right.
Then there was about 10 years where Dan Sutherland was the delegate.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Wickersham went back in 31 and 32 for one more term before he retired. You might
That's
remember
right.
that. But back in, getting back to this founding of the college now, the legislature in 1917 accepted the land grant from the federal government, and the governor was instructed to appoint a board of trustees and to get the college organized. Now, were you on that first board that was appointed?
I wasn't on the first board. Snodgrass was.
Well, I have here a list of the Board of Trustees as of 1922 now.
Well,
and you tell me just if this is correct, I know.
Yeah.
And I see P.J. Rickert name, and he was an early appointee.
Farm,
and Mrs. Luther Hess.
That's right.
And yourself, Robert Bloom.
Yeah.
And Robert Lavery.
That's right.
And J.A. McIntosh.
That's correct.
A.J. Nordale.
Yeah.
M.D. Snodgrass.
That's it.
And Morton E. Stevens.
That's what
yeah.
I say.
Those are the
now
eight
Stevens,
trustees.
He changed.
Well, now, Stevens was a practicing lawyer
that's
in town.
That's what he was, and a drunkard besides.
Well, I'd heard that too.
I'm not trying to tell you any lies. But that he
went. He had back, his problem.
He went really back on us, and he went turned over to Bunnell, whatever Bunnell.
Now, can you tell me. Let's
done to him. Yeah. Whether I know or I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, well, that's right. After all these years,
we'll forget about it.
Well, we'll
and
be.
I have good evidence to show that Bunnell satisfied him for something. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Now, do you recall, the building out here was first put up in summer of 1918, they tell me.
Who, me?
And I understand that the first building was put up in 1918. That was before Bunnell was even appointed. So there was some work done on the ground out here several years before the college started, right?
Well, no, here is the way it was. Barnett was gone, taking up a trading outfit to the upper Tannenau, and he got stuck right where the church is on the bridge.
No, I'm talking about the college out here.
Eh?
I'm talking about the university.
I'm telling you, that's about the start of the college. And of course, that's why Fairbanks was created. Now, what you're asking the question is, who was it the people? Well, I tell you who there was. There was myself, Bob Lavery, Andrew Nerland, and McIntosh. We realized that we can't run around with our families from pillar to post, and we wanted them to give them an education and so forth. And there was a chance that the government, that the Washington, or that Washington, was willing to help us to donate. All the donated it was $50,000.
Yeah.
I think you'll find that.
That's right. It's a land grant college, so they were entitled
well,
to.
Well, then the rest of it that was opposing us, and they said, there's no, it's too early, and we had no business to, but we never listened. We went ahead with it.
Yeah.
And of course, we represented the main people of the town of Fairbanks at the time.
Now, when you, there was a two-year delay, though. In 1917, they appropriated some $41,000 or so to get started.
That's right.
And then you were able to start the building. Then in 1919, the legislature didn't approve anything. They didn't appropriate a dime.
Well, that's the time that I and a few more loaned the college some cash to pay the teacher so that we prolonged, but they paid us back.
Uh-huh. Well, no, this was before then, Bob, I think.
Hey?
I think what you're talking about came a little later.
Well,
the college didn't open until 1922.
22, yeah.
So in 1919, though, the legislature didn't give any money at all.
No.
So it was another delay in opening, that's all.
Well, the delay in the opening came when you remember that earthquake we had in Versnodgrass, and the family had to get out of there. And that's the time that we got $50,000 ahead of the game, but we had to guarantee it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. When I took Bunnell, after he was nominated already, and of course we couldn't fire him, they had a majority. Mm-hmm. So we needed some money and credit.
Yeah.
So I took him into the NC company, and Richmond, he was president at the time. And he says, no, nothing doing. I wouldn't take Pennell's word, but I'll take Bob Blue.
Uh-huh.
So I went good for it, and that's how we got $50,000.
In order to get
the thing started. Yeah.
Do you recall, Bob, now, as I look back through some of the old things, I was wondering, Snodgrass was a potential president, was that right?
Oh, yeah.
Were you rather in favor of having Snodgrass as president?
You mean Snodgrass as president?
Yeah.
That's politically?
Yeah.
I mean from Washington?
No. Snodgrass was in charge of the experiment station out here.
Snodgrass, he came over when that earthquake was. What was the name of the place?
Well, the Katmai earthquake?
Yeah, Katmai.
Yeah.
And he came over, but he still was under the auspices of the government, you see, had that place, you see.
Uh-huh.
But he never ran for president.
No, but I see that Snodgrass was a member of the Board of Trustees.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you see, but they accused him. They accused him because he wanted to be president.
Yeah.
Well, he never did.
No. Well, that's what I was going to ask.
No. And Mrs. Snodgrass is alive yet.
Yes,
and
that's
she
right.
She can tell you about that.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Snodgrass was a straightforward, faithful Alaskan he wanted to see the territory develop.
Yeah.
And he worked all he could.
Yeah.
Until finally they pushed him out so far that he had no place at all. He had to go to work for the railroad, and then he opened up in Anchorage, in McGrath.
Matanuska. Yeah. Now, as you recall, now when you, back in 1921 now, let's get to 21. So you had a little building on the hall out here on the hill. And the legislature in 21 gave you some more money
to get
going. Yeah. And so you people then had to pick a president.
That's right.
And there were eight of you.
That's it.
Now, do you remember if there were any candidates?
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
That Wickersham helped us in order to get together, because after all, we were not officially politicians. We were in business.
Yeah.
And we wanted to establish Fairbanks as a business community and everything else, and we didn't have any great amount of money and families besides. So Wickersham, he helped us, by God, to try to gather a few dollars together and open up an educational institution higher than a high school. And that's what, so by, and Roth and a few more of them, they were totally against it, and they're hollering their head off.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, he managed to gather up an official bunch for a majority.
Mm-hmm.
So we had four. Stephen, Lavery, and McIntosh, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And Stevens went back on.
Mm-hmm.
And Snodgrass.
Mm-hmm.
And Stevens went back
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
And that
now,
gave them the superiority.
If you were going to, if you had your way, who do you think would have been a good president of the college instead of Bunnell? Was there
anybody of any four would have made better than Bunnell? Bunnell was nothing on the earth. A little two-faced school teacher for Indians. He didn't have even a white man's calling.
I know, but he'd had a good education, you know.
He did. He learned it right in his office.
Well, he had an awfully good record in college, and he was a brilliant man, Bob.
He wasn't so very brilliant.
Yeah, he had an awful good record, you know. But let's say that this,
he was more of a politician than he was an educator.
Well, he'd been on the judge for seven years. You know.
Yes, I know, but he had a good, he was lucky enough to get a good intent bunch of teachers that really wanted to see Alaska established. And they worked with under hardship conditions. Now, what did she call them? There was two of them particularly, because their families and their wives and everybody. And they worked under them in order to get them an extra chance for a higher education. And that's what my idea. What did I have? I never got a bean out of the college, nor any patronage out of the college. But nevertheless, my children got it. Thank God I have two doctors in the family, and the other two are teachers, and you go on and ask Bill Stroker, or meet him. Bloom taught here in school. Yeah. What the person
is. I met her one time. She's a wonderful girl.
Well, very, very fine. That's the way I'm telling you. Yeah. And that's
but
the
I was
way.
Going back there, do you think that other than Bunnell, were there other active applicants for the presidency? Did you consider other people besides him on
first
the job?
First of all, they accused Snodgrass. That was the farthest of our intention. Yeah. There was an old gentleman, I forget his name, and he was well qualified for the presidency. And he was pushed to Shelley. I can get these.
Well, the vote was about 5-3 then.
5-3. Yeah.
Do you think, Bob, in looking back, and it has occurred to me once in a while, do you think Wickersham would have been interested in being the president of the college?
Well, sure he would. He would have gladly helped to give everything that he had. Yeah. And his wife, too. She was a fine teacher, too.
Of course, at the time, he was still a delegate to Congress.
But you see, he could have spared the time and he would have devoted. He did devote. He devoted his lifetime.
Yes, he did.
If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have had nothing.
Yeah. Well, it seemed to me that over the course of the years, as I look back, he was so instrumental in getting it started and laying the cornerstone and all that. I wondered why he wasn't more, or whether or not he had ever entertained the idea that maybe he'd take the presidency.
He never asked for it. Bunnell wouldn't give it to him if he could.
No.
Bunnell was a vindictive man.
Well, now, of course, the feud between Wickersham and Bunnell, it must have started maybe, well, they ran against each other in 1914 for delegate. You remember that?
Yes.
Is that when it started? Oh, yes.
See, he had no trouble at all.
No,
he could,
it was a walk-away election.
He could walk, he was sure.
Yeah.
Do you know that I went in? During that time, I went into the NC Company, and of course the NC Company was against him because the people were against him.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, I forgot his other name, he says to me, he says, you see, but the NC, they had a mortgage on every merchant's head, and when Wickersham came into town, to go home where he lived on the corner of Noble, the people were standing behind the door and they were afraid to go out to shake hands with him. So that's the way.
Is that the way it was?
That's the way it was. And I could bring you a witness to that too. But he had a few fighters for him too.
Yeah.
And we were really the main people that lived and we knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I went into the NC Company before during the election day, and Joe, I forget his other name, he was the NC electrical man. He says, "No, Bob," he says, "you think you're going to win the election?" I says, "I'll tell you, Joe, I'm not a betting man, nor I haven't got any money to bet either, but I'll do this," I says. And I pulled out a purse, I had $1,200 in it. I threw it on the table. "I'll stake that," I said, "that he carries Fairbanks."
This is Wickersham.
Yeah.
Huh?
Uh-huh. The Richmond come up. "Bob," he says, "do you know what you're talking about? Well, do you think that I don't value that $1,200? It's all the money I have in order to pay my bill, and I am going to pay my bill."
Yeah.
"Well, you're foolish," he said. "You shouldn't go that strong." "Well, I tell you, I'm not foolish." And that's the time he carried Fairbanks unanimously.
Yeah.
So you see how each fight was that hard.
Yeah. Now, as you were on the board of trustees up, I see this one says 1925. Is that about when you went off? You served the one term then.
But Nell wanted to get rid of me, and I didn't want to serve anymore.
Yeah. So about 1925. But those first years there, the first two or three years, well, of course, there were lots of problems that it wasn't only Bunnell. There would have been any president would have had lots of problems getting a place started, you know.
Well, there was no... Bob Lavery. Now everybody considered him that he was a very strong-minded man. But now Bob Lavery was just as big a drunkard as his son R.K. Lavery is. And whenever he and his wife agreed to unite, Palmer, he was working for him, he was as mad, damn mad, that he wouldn't talk to him.
Yeah.
Because we talked a lot to Mrs. Mabry, And he never had a drink touch his lips, my God, till the day, well, till he died, and he wouldn't take it then.
Yeah.
Now that's a strong character, Bob Lavery.
Yeah.
So I'm not lying to you, I can prove it.
Yeah.
So you see, there was determination on both sides.
Oh yeah, sure.
But
well,
in paper.
We had then on the faculty. Of course, you knew all the early faculty.
All the teachers that we had, they weren't getting no hardly any pay, but they devoted their heart and soul to get their kids so as they would hold their own against the other.
I see the names now of Earl Pilgrim. He's still around, isn't he?
Yes, you can ask him. He'll tell you the same.
And Ernest Paddy, of course.
You see, we chipped him in with, what's the other fellow's name? That other...
Archie Truesdale here.
No, Truesdale, a different one. Oh, your son is on the News Miner now.
My gosh, I...
Oh yes, he came in together with Brown and both of them from the University of Washington.
Well, Paddy came
Paddy, that's the one.
Paddy came in with
but
with
you see, Paddy
Pilgrim.
Turned to Bunnell.
Yeah.
But Pilgrim wouldn't.
Yeah. Then Archie Truesdale was here.
Yeah.
And then there were Herbert Bruce and...
All good men, every one of them.
Elizabeth Kirkpatrick.
Except Roth and Abdullah of his. Oh, you keep your thumb in your mouth until you see anybody go to your college. Who's going to go there? Well, I said, anybody that wants to will go there.
Yeah.
And they did. And here's your college.
Sure. Well, is there anything more, Bob, that you can think about some of the early days that you got to...
Well, what you want more.
Well...
All you can tell the people of Fairbanks or Anchorage or McGrath that the old-timers that came here, they went to Dawson and come down from Dawson here, and they were Alaskans by desire, and they stayed with the country till they built her up to a state.
Right, right.
So that would be every word.
That's it. Well, you know what? As I said, the Regents have asked me to go back and and go over this old document.
Which Regents now? Well,
and the letters and things.
Hello, Mr. Bloom.
What?
Just fine. How are you?
Oh, you
How's
see?
How's your wife?
After the pick myself, because you know, Mr. Patrick.
Uh-huh. Oh,
yeah. And he wants me to tell him what happened in the other day.
Good.
I told him we had a bunch of fighters on both sides.
Yeah.
We're neighbors, and that stayed with the cause.
Yeah.
And now, by gosh, we have a college that comes up pretty near in the standards of education.
Mm-hmm.
And I judge by my kids and nobody else, as well as mm-hmm. the University of Washington.
Bob was a member of our first board of trustees, mm-hmm. you see, so I've gotten out a few of my little trinkets,
good.
And we're getting some of the personal touches to the...
Good, that should be written down.
Oh, you see, I was 40 years, I was never recognized even to be on the region, until Mrs. Keyes came in, and she started in to look who opened the college, and here is the result of it that she gave me, and...
What do you, it looks like you're looking for some, what, a letter or a picture or something there, Bob?
Well, yes, I'm looking for something that you can see.
Well, that's a gold... I don't know exactly what to... We've got a lot of... A lot of documentation there, all right.
Oh, I tell you, I didn't sleep in this country. Believe me, I gave up.
Were you never on the city council or anything in town?
No, I wouldn't go on the council because a lot of deadheads is on there. What can a good man do?
You never ran for a political office?
I wouldn't do it.
The legislature or anything like that?
No, I didn't. I didn't want it. I wanted to see this town built as an educational, good Alaska city, and I think we did it.
You did that, all right. Well, how long did you operate your store, Bob? I'm trying to recall now.
I operated my store 40 years.
Now, did you sell it out to, who did sell it
I
out
sold
to someone?
It out, yeah.
Who was it that bought it over, do you recall?
Hajdukovich bought it.
Hajdukovich?
Yeah.
And
he tried.
Was that where your store was located last, where Hajdukovich is
yeah,
now?
Yeah, that is where she is today.
What year was that you sold out, do you recall?
I sold it in 42.
1942.
Yeah.
Well, that's just when I came back to teach, and I just was not sure where you had it.
I tell you, every move was imprinted in my head because I worked hard for it to establish it. I want to show you what Mrs. Keyes did as the first director.
Yeah, I saw Mrs. Keyes last, a couple of years ago. She and George came up.
Oh, yeah.
And I've written to them, too, for that matter.
I think this is the...
Well, you've got some kind of a certificate there, Bob. I don't see what it says.
I couldn't see it.
It's Robert Bloom membership certificate to the
Alaska.
We Blaze the Trail Civilization Follows. Lodge number 1 AYP. That's the Alaska Yukon Pioneers.
Yeah, well, that's a pioneer. Yeah. That isn't what I was looking for.
No, that's the Alaska.
I was looking for a better one than that.
Well. That looks to be about the same. You got two of them. You just paid your dues with that one.
Yes, well, I'll find another one. I'll tell you in there. I'm bound to find it. If I had it here. For the years, they recognized that I was the one that opened the college on the record in the minutes.
Oops, you dropped something there.
Yeah.
So she sent me
That was a little recognition that they,
yeah,
they made of your 40 years, huh? Well, you're the last surviving member now, aren't you, of
you
the
know,
original
according
board?
According to the record, yeah.
Yeah.
I can only get my honors on record, otherwise you can't get
me. Oh, well, what I want to do now in the book I'm going to write, Bob, I'm writing, and I think it'll turn out to be a book, but in the back end there is going to be listed all of the regents right from the word go, so you'll be mentioned and listed right up in the beginning.
Well, anything that I tell you, I'm willing to stand behind it, and I'd like to see the man that will come up and contradict it. I don't hold any grudge at Bonnell. He had a fight, and with the help of the Alaska Steamship Company, that was a big rich institution of England or Scotland, they ruled the country, and they are ruling it yet.
But in the long run, well, it's turned out just about the way you hoped it would be. Is that right?
Well, it has.
Yeah.
It has better than I hoped.
During the years did you feel that the college should put more stress on agriculture than on the other courses?
No, what chance would my kids have had if we didn't have a little higher institution than a high school to go back outside and go into college, to go and stand an examination qualified students with the others that went to the outside all the time.
Yeah.
So you must remember that they did get a good start here.
Good start. The reason I asked about that was I knew that you were always interested in the agriculture and the wheat and things that were grown here.
Well, no, here is the same thing with everything else. Wheat. Oh, everybody, but you can't raise no wheat. You can't raise no wheat, and you won't raise no wheat. So, I wasn't alone in it, Snodgrass was in it, and so we started in and we sowed some wheat, and by Jove, the result was that we got a better kernel than the outside produced. So, I kept gathering it up for years until I had enough to seed 50 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 120 sacks out of it, but everyone that I gave to reproduce it next year, they give it to the hen, pig.
No, I see.
And they went to work for our wages. We have no farm.
Were you interested in any way with that flouring mill that was in Fairbanks?
You bet I was. I lost $1,000.
Did it stay in operation very long, that
no,
mill?
No, it didn't.
It was a kind of a shaky enterprise, and then I suppose when the railroad came in...
He killed himself, Barrett.
Yeah.
And Jose Ross, they didn't give a budget for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by that time I had my feel of it. I couldn't do anymore. But I tell you, I could show you the finest crop of wheat you ever seen, that wheat that I grew in.
Where was the farm you located? Was it back here behind
right
the college?
There, right there, yes.
Yankovic?
The college has got a Yankovic, is that?
Yankovic, yeah. I don't remember about what year was that. Would that have been about 1915 or?
Oh, later.
Later than that.
Yeah.
Up in the.
That was in the.
25 or?
The
40. Oh, that late?
Yeah.
Oh,
my gosh, we had to year after year in order to help it along.
Yeah.
After all, we were no millionaire.
Yeah. Well, now. I see in some of the political readings that I do that there were some people then that were called Wickites too. Now, did Wickersham split with the main Republican Party someplace along the line?
Well,
he ran as an independent sometimes.
Yes, he did, because he couldn't get the nomination.
Oh, I see.
They wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah.
So he ran independent, and
he
beat
him. He got elected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He never won defeat.
Yeah. No, he was successful, I guess, even when a couple of times it looked like the other fella beat him out with the votes, but he was able to...
he was able to maintain because the people were with him.
Yeah.
No, Wickersham was a great man. Yeah. Devoted all his time, energy, and ability to help Alaska.
Yeah.
And the newspapers were against him because that company didn't want him. Because he decided a case against him. I don't know the whole thing.
I don't know what you're looking for now, Bob. Is it a little card of some kind?
I'm looking to show you that I've got the head of the alumni.
Oh, well, sure. You're must be an honorary alumni by now.
Yeah.
I see you with the Historical Society. I'm past president of that, you know.
Well, there you are. I have got it here.
Someplace,
I'll find it, but I can't see it very good.
That's the Historical Society
all
there.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's where the alumni is, on a little bit of a card. Mm-hmm. And that's what Mrs. Keyes gave them. He says, Bob, you're entitled to it, and why don't you hold it? I said, sure. That's 40 years later.
Well, it's a kind of a belated recognition, but I'm glad they got around to it all right. You spend about half the year now in Seattle and the other half up here?
Yeah, the winters are too cold.
Do you still have a home in town, Bob, or do you?
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I got four.
You do, huh?
And a piece of property that is, well, the Bud Myers, he's the one that rents it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, I'm not out of this country.
I saw Mrs. Bloom out at the dedication of the Pedro Monument the other day.
Well, I was too tired to go.
Yeah, I was kind of looking for you, but someone said that you were not out there that day. I was worried that you might be ill, but you look just as healthy as ever.
Well,
so
I wasn't very best of health, that's true.
Yeah.
But I managed to get out of it, and I arrived today because I went out to a trip up the tunnel, and I didn't even recognize Ted Lowe when I come home.
Yeah.
I'm not very. It's cooking with a look.
Bob, how old are you now?
How old do you think I am?
Well, I would say you're getting pretty close to the 90 mark, huh? 85?
Yes, 92.
Are you now? I knew it because you couldn't have been here so long ago unless you were getting up into that area. You're pretty well preserved.
92.
Pretty well preserved.
Well, I'm not very well preserved, but I am still able to take my own.
Well, I think you're doing awfully well, and I think now
I
see that I'm getting...
That had anything to do with the establishment of a state in Alaska who worked as hard as I did, whether they're on the 4-foot list or not, but they all did their share.
Well, I'm sure that we could talk about an awful lot of the early timers. When did you first meet Lathrop along the line?
Lathrop?
Yeah.
The first time I met Lathrop is when he come in and he bought out the fellow that had possession of the place. And his look was, you see, the school.
Now, when Lathrop first came to Fairbanks, was it in the theater business, or it was the apartment business, or the coal business? Do you remember? He was got in.
Yeah, no, it was just he bought out that the mining. That's it. He was the business before. He bought him out.
What kind of business was that?
That was the show business.
The theater.
That's all they had. He did not want it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you see, the thing began, Fairbanks began to grow apace, and he just was right in the swim. He couldn't help it. He had to get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, he was on the board of Regents after you left it. I think he joined about 1930 or so.
We never get the water thing.
Yeah.
If we were there.
Yeah.
He didn't like me. He didn't deserve to be. He's not a public citizen. He's a selfish person.
Well, now I think this is getting almost to the end of my tape here, Bob.
Well,
so
I think
that I've kept you here I've kept you here for just about an hour, and I think we've had a.
What's this?
That's what it says. University of Alaska Alumni Association. Mr. Robert Bloom is an honorary member in good standing. Honorary membership, May 22nd, 1961, signed by Audrey Loftus. So she was executive secretary. Bob, do you get the alumni paper? Do you get the little magazine?
Oh yeah.
I write for that, you know.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I write that Cashin's Corner, you know.
Yeah, well, as you know, I can't see.
Yeah.
But Mrs. Wright reads it.
Yeah. Well, you tell her to look close, because now there was just an issue out yesterday,
well,
so you'll
see, I have to look
get
for
it in the mail.
The last thing finally I found.
Good. That's it.
Keys, give me that.
Yeah.
As long as Vanel was alive, I couldn't get it.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir. Well, you're all fixed
I'm
up
satisfied.
There.
I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
The thing is this way, we brought the community to a head. They're a first-class organization. And the old-timers went to work, were so energetic. Now they built the finest pioneer home that they ever seen. You were in it.
Yeah,
well,
it's a wonderful tribute to them. And they well deserve it, too. This is an interview that's been taking place here out at the University of Alaska Museum on the 5th of August, 1970. And this is Bill Cashin, and I've been interviewing Bob Bloom, pioneer resident here of Fairbanks, and he's been telling me about the early days of the college.
Yeah.
And Dawson, yeah. All the way from Dawson to Fairbanks.
Yeah.
And so I want to take this occasion to say thanks to Bob, and this material that I've taken
and
is going to be very
also
helpful.
I would mention this, that the achievement of the Alaska University doesn't go all the way to Bunnell. Because he could not have brought it to the place of honor that he's occupying now if it wasn't for the faculty.
Well, I think that's a good quote. Now, in my book, I'll make a little note and quote. If I have your permission, I can quote you right like that.
Pilgrim,
Earl Pilgrim,
that did more for the country. In a mining, you know, his name is never mentioned. But the other fellow, his partner, he runs over all of it, you know, that isn't fair.
I hope I have the opportunity to talk with Pilgrim. He comes in to town every once in a while, they tell me.
And
I hope I have the opportunity to talk to him.
Whatever he tells you, you can believe it, because he's really a man that has devoted a lifetime until he got the quartz mining. To a successful
standard. Yeah, he was a devoted member of his mining profession, and those type are.
There's two of us. We were sitting discussing the whole proposition, and I don't think that anybody exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
Or we didn't have to underrate it, because it stands in by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up pretty close. A hard chasing partner for the University of Alaska.
Well, thanks, Bob, very much, and this is going to be very helpful, very helpful in my book, and I hope that you're going to be around and be able to read it when I get it done in a year or so.
If I don't miss it. It won't be in the Bloom home without me knowing. And you deserve a lot of credit too, because the newspapers didn't overplay your name.
No.
As you deserve it.
No.
I know it.
Well, thanks a lot, and I'll sign off for now.
On that board that donates those sums to universities.
Oh, this gentleman with you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Therefore, Freedom Right, and if the opportunity comes, he might put in a good word for this institution.
Well, I hope he does. You know.
Well, I expect he will. He likes it.
Good.
That other man, that friend of his, is also a very fine man.
And Bob, I just hope that all that material we're finishing up now. I hope all that material that that you've collected over the years is going to be preserved in a good museum, because I know you've got some invaluable collection of pictures and things.
I've done the best I knew how. That's all I'm.
In the economy of Fairbanks in the post-war period, and still does. Paragraph. Gold mining never survived the war. The ground that was already stripped and thawed was worked for a few years after the war. But with the price of gold pegged at $35 an ounce, it was no longer feasible to mine gold profitably because of the high costs of labor and material. The University of Alaska grew rapidly after the war and is now the second largest employer, second only to the military. Tourism has become a very important part of our economy. Paragraph. In 1955, a state constitutional convention was held at the university, and in January 1959, Alaska became the 49th state. Statehood brought a new confidence to Fairbanksons, and there was a general optimism for the growth and prosperity of their city. When the State Centennial Commission decided that the state should have a central exposition site to focus attention on the Alaska Purchase Centennial, Fairbanks presented the best plans and site for such an event. The commission selected Fairbanks as the exposition site, and a corporation, A67, developed a $5 million fairgrounds on Airport Road. It is now called Alaska Land. New paragraph. But A67, as well as the entire city, suffered from the disastrous flood of August 1967. Heavy and persistent rains throughout the summer, followed by torrential rains in early August, caused the Chena to overflow its banks. Normally, flooding occurs when the river reaches 12.1 feet. On August 15, the Chena reached 18.8 feet, and the entire city was under several feet of water. Paragraph. It was a major disaster, and winter was not far off. The federal government, state agencies, and private relief groups descended on the city to assist the victims and repair the damage. With their help and the dogged determination of the victims, the city made an unbelievably fast recovery. At present, 1970, all eyes are to the north. Fairbanks was the jumping-off point in the 50s for the Dew Line and the White Alice projects. And now, Fairbanks is the jumping-off point for the North Slope. Prudhoe Bay and other great oil discoveries on the Arctic coast await development. A highway to the North Slope is already started. A pipeline there to Valdez will undoubtedly pass nearby. An extension of the Alaska Railroad from Fairbanks to the coast is being given careful consideration. The technical engineering problems in all of these projects, as well as the ecological problems which they will create, are extremely complex, but no one considers them insurmountable. In box 19 of the Bunnell collection of papers in the archives, box 19 contains these items. One, an account book dated 1879 to 1880 with entries for purchases, debits and credits for J.A. Bunnell, William Bunnell and Lyman Bunnell. A second book is a scrapbook of high school days of Charles Ernest Bunnell, his high school days and some of Kenyon Academy, Keystone Academy, and there are some good clippings. The clippings include mention of his graduation, his various honors as an orator, clippings about his wedding and his trip to Carlisle Indian School, where he brought quite a number of his students from Kodiak or Wood Island, and he brought them back to Carlisle Indian School at the end of his first year. Then there are letters of appointment for both he and Mrs. Bunnell as teachers at Kodiak and at Valdez. Item three is a diary which begins September 1900, and it's a description of his early days in Kodiak. It's not exactly a diary, it's just a